Whoever fights monsters should see to it that in the process he does not become a monster. Friedrich Nietzsche. We're not dealing with a government that exists to serve its people, protect their liberties and ensure their happiness. Rather, we are the unfortunate victims of the diabolical machinations of a make-works program carried out on an epic scale whose only purpose is to keep the powers that be permanently, and profitably, employed. Case in point. The FBI. The government's henchmen have become the embodiment of how power, once acquired, can be so easily corrupted and abused. Indeed, far from being tough on crime, FBI agents are also among the nation's most notorious lawbreakers. Whether the FBI is planting undercover agents in churches, synagogues, and mosques, issuing fake emergency letters to gain access to Americans' phone records, using intimidation tactics to silence Americans who are critical of the government, or persuading impressionable individuals to plot acts of terror and then entrapping them, the overall impression of the nation's secret police force is that of a well-dressed thug, flexing its muscles and doing the boss's dirty work. Clearly, this is not a government agency that appears to understand, let alone respect, the limits of the Constitution. Indeed, this same government agency has a pattern and practice of entrapment that involves targeting vulnerable individuals, feeding them with the propaganda, know-how and weapons intended to turn them into terrorists, and then arresting them as part of an elaborately orchestrated counterterrorism sting. Basically, it works like this. In order to justify their crime-fighting superpowers, the FBI manufactures criminals by targeting vulnerable individuals and feeding them anti-government propaganda. Then, undercover agents and informants equip the targeted individuals with the training and resources to challenge what they've been indoctrinated into believing is government corruption. And finally, the FBI arrests the targeted individuals for engaging in anti-government, terrorist activities. This is what passes for the government's perverse idea of being tough on crime. For example, undercover FBI agents pretending to be associated with ISIS have been accused of seeking out online and befriending a 16-year-old with brain development issues, persuading him to secretly send them small cash donations in the form of gift cards, and then the moment Matteo Ventura, turned 18, arresting him for providing financial support to an Islamic terrorist group. If convicted, the teenager could spend up to 10 years in prison. Yet as The Intercept explains, the only terrorist he is accused of ever being in contact with was an undercover FBI agent who befriended him online as a 16-year-old. This law enforcement tactic has been criticized by national security researchers who have scrutinized the FBI's role in manufacturing terrorism cases using vulnerable people who would have been unable to commit crimes without prolonged government assistance and encouragement. The Ventura case may indicate that authorities are still open to conjuring terrorists where none existed. In another incident, the FBI used an undercover agent, informant to seek out and groom an impressionable young man, cultivating his friendship, gaining his sympathy, stoking his outrage over injustices perpetrated by the U.S. government, then enlisting his help to blow up the Herald Square subway station. Despite the fact that Shahawar Maitan Siraj ultimately refused to plant a bomb at the train station, he was arrested for conspiring to do so at the urging of his FBI informant and used to bolster the government's track record in foiling terrorist plots. Of course, no mention was made of the part the government played in fabricating the plot, recruiting a would-be bomber, and setting him up to take the fall. These are Machiavellian tactics with far-reaching consequences for every segment of the population, no matter what one's political leanings, but it is especially dangerous for anyone whose views could in any way be characterized as anti-government. As Rosina Ali writes for the New York Times Magazine, the government's approach to counterterrorism erodes constitutional protections for everyone, by blurring the lines between speech and action and by broadening the scope of who is classified as a threat. For instance, it was reported that the FBI had been secretly carrying out an entrapment scheme in which it used a front company, ANOM, to sell purportedly hack-proof phones to organized crime syndicates and then used those phones to spy on them as they planned illegal drug shipments, plotted robberies and put out contracts for killings using those booby-trapped phones. All told, the FBI intercepted 27 million messages over the course of 18 months. What this means is that the FBI was also illegally spying on individuals using those encrypted phones who may know they've been involved in any criminal activity whatsoever. Even reading a newspaper article is now enough to get you flagged for surveillance by the FBI. The agency served a subpoena on USA Today, Gannett to provide the internet addresses and mobile phone information for everyone who read a news story online on a particular day and time about the deadly shooting of FBI agents. This is the danger of allowing the government to carry out widespread surveillance, sting and entrapment operations using dubious tactics that sidestep the rule of law. We the people become suspects and potential criminals, while government agents, empowered to fight crime using all means at their disposal, become indistinguishable from the corrupt forces they seek to vanquish. To go after terrorists, they become terrorists. To go after drug smugglers, they become drug smugglers. To go after thieves, they become thieves. For instance, when the FBI raided a California business that was suspected of letting drug dealers anonymously stash guns, drugs, and cash in its private vaults, agents seized the contents of all the safety deposit boxes and filed forfeiture motions to keep the contents, which include millions of dollars worth of valuables owned by individuals not accused of any crime whatsoever. It's hard to say whether we're dealing with a kleptocracy, a government ruled by thieves, a kakistocracy, a government run by unprincipled career politicians, corporations and thieves that panders to the worst vices in our nature and has little regard for the rights of American citizens, or if we've gone straight to an idiocracy. This certainly isn't a constitutional democracy, however. Some days, it feels like the FBI is running its own crime syndicate complete with mob rule and mafia-style justice. In addition to creating certain crimes in order to then solve them, the FBI also gives certain informants permission to break the law, including everything from buying and selling illegal drugs to bribing government officials and plotting robberies, in exchange for their cooperation on other fronts. USA Today estimates that agents have authorized criminals to engage in as many as 15 crimes a day, 5,600 crimes a year. Some of these informants are getting paid astronomical sums. One particularly unsavory fellow, later arrested for attempting to run over a police officer, was actually paid $85,000 for his help laying the trap for an entrapment scheme. In a stunning development reported by the Washington Post, a probe into misconduct by an FBI agent resulted in the release of at least a dozen convicted drug dealers from prison. In addition to procedural misconduct, trespassing, enabling criminal activity, and damaging private property, the FBI's laundry list of crimes against the American people includes surveillance, disinformation, blackmail, entrapment, intimidation tactics, and harassment. For example, the Associated Press lodged a complaint with the Department of Justice after learning that FBI agents created a fake AP news story and emailed it, along with a clickable link, to a bomb threat suspect in order to implant tracking technology onto his computer and identify his location. Lambasting the agency, AP attorney Karen Kaiser railed, the FBI may have intended this false story as a trap for only one person. However, the individual could easily have reposted this story to social networks, distributing to thousands of people, under our name, what was essentially a piece of government disinformation. Then again, to those familiar with COINTELPRO, an FBI program created to disrupt, misdirect, discredit, and neutralize groups and individuals the government considers politically objectionable, it should come as no surprise that the agency has mastered the art of government disinformation. The FBI has been particularly criticized in the wake of the 9/11 terrorist attacks for targeting vulnerable individuals and not only luring them into fake terror plots but actually equipping them with the organization, money, weapons and motivation to carry out the plots, entrapment, and then jailing them for their so-called terrorist plotting. This is what the FBI characterizes as forward-leaning, preventative prosecutions. The FBI has also repeatedly sought to expand its invasive hacking powers to allow agents to hack into any computer, anywhere in the world. Suffice it to say that when and if a true history of the FBI is ever written, it will not only track the rise of the American police state but it will also chart the decline of freedom in America. How a nation that once abided by the rule of law and held the government accountable for its actions has steadily devolved into a police state where justice is one-sided, a corporate elite runs the show, representative government is a mockery, police are extensions of the military, surveillance is rampant, privacy is extinct, and the law is little more than a tool for the government to browbeat the people into compliance. This is how tyranny rises and freedom falls. The powers that be are not acting in our best interests. Almost every tyranny being perpetrated by the U.S. government against the citizenry, purportedly to keep us safe and the nation secure, has come about as a result of some threat manufactured in one way or another by our own government. Think about it. Cyber warfare, terrorism, biochemical attacks, the nuclear arms race, surveillance, the drug wars, domestic extremism, the COVID-19 pandemic. In almost every instance, the U.S. government, often spearheaded by the FBI, has in its typical Machiavellian fashion sown the seeds of terror domestically and internationally in order to expand its own totalitarian powers. Consider that this very same government has taken every bit of technology sold to us as being in our best interests, GPS devices, surveillance, non-lethal weapons, etc., and used it against us, to track, control and trap us. Are you getting the picture yet? The US government isn't protecting us from threats to our freedoms. The US government is creating the threats to our freedoms. It is, as I make clear in my book Battlefield America, the war on the American people and in its fictional counterpart the Eric Blair Diaries, the source of the threats to our freedoms.